Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the 10th canto, chapter 1, text number 43. And today we will be reflecting on reflection, which is a very nice analogy in the verse and a very ingenious purport by Srila Prabhupada. So we'll just dive right into it. Jyotir Yutai Vodaka Partiveshwa Adaha Jyotir Yatai Vodaka Partiveshwa Adaha. Samir Veganugatam Vibhavyate Samira Vega Nuttaram Vibhavyate Evam Swamaya Rachiteshwa Aso Puman Evam Swamaya Rachiteshwa Aso Puman. Guneshu Raganugato Vimuyati. Guneshu Raganugato Vimuyati. Jyotir Yatai Vodaka Partiveshvadaha. Samira Veganugatam Vibhavyate. Evam Swamaya Rachite Swaso Puman. Guneshu Raganugato Vimuyati. Jyotir Yatai Vodaka Partiveshwada. Samira Veganugatam Vibhavyate. Evam Swamaya Rachite Swayo Aso Puman. Guneshu Raganugato Vimuyate. Vaishnavis, Jyoti. The luminaries in the sky, such as the sun, the moon, and the stars. Yata, as. Eva, indeed. Udaka, in water. Partiveshu, or in other liquids like oil. Ada, directly. Samiravega anukatam, being forced by the movements of the wind. Vibhavyate, appear in different shapes. Evam, in this way. Swamaya rachiteshu, in the situation created by one's mental concoctions. Asau, the living entity. Puman, persons. Guneshu, in the material world, manifested by the modes of nature. Raga anugataha, according to his attachment. Vimuyati, becomes bewildered by identification. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids, like oil or water, they appear to be different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on, because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, when the living entity, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoctions because of agitation from the material modes of nature. Jai, would you like to repeat that? It's too long. Okay. When the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids like oil or water, they appear to be of different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on, because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, when the living entity, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoctions because of agitation from the material modes of nature. So it's a lengthy purport, so we'll see how much steel our mind gets or active. This verse gives a very good example by which to understand the different positions of the eternal spirit soul in the material world, and how the soul takes on different bodies. Dehantara Prapti 2.13. The moon is stationary and is one, but when it is reflected in water or oil, it appears to take different shapes because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when put into the material modes of nature, it takes different bodies, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, a dog, a tree, and so on. By the influence of Maya, the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity thinks that he is this person, that person, American, Indian, cat, dog, tree, or whatever. This is called Maya. When one is freed from this bewilderment and understands that the soul does not belong to any shape of this material world, one is situated on the spiritual platform, Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20. This realization is sometimes explained as nirakara, or formlessness. This formlessness, however, does not mean that the soul has no form. The soul has form, but the external agitation form he has acquired because of material contamination is false. Similarly, God is also described as nirakara, which means that God has no material form, but is Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, Brahma-Samhita 5.1. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, but his material forms are temporary or illusory. Both the living entity and the Supreme Lord have original spiritual forms, Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, but the Lord, the Supreme, does not change his form. The Lord appears as he is, whereas the living entity appears because material nature forces him to accept different forms. When the living entity receives these different forms, he identifies with them and not with his original spiritual form. As soon as the living entity returns to his original spiritual form and understanding, he immediately surrenders to the Supreme Form, the personality of Godhead. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapajate. When the living entity, after many, many births in different forms, returns to his original form of Krishna consciousness, he immediately surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Form, Krishna. This is liberation. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Parsanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Parim Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Surrender unto the Supreme Form is the result of bhakti. This bhakti, or understanding of one's own position, is the complete liberation. As long as one is under an impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth, he is not in pure knowledge, but must still struggle for pure knowledge. Klesho dikataraste sham avyakta shakta chetasam, Bhagavad Gita 12:5. Although one may be spiritually advanced, if one is attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one must still work very hard, as indicated by the words klesho dikaratara, which means greater suffering. A devotee, however, easily attains his original position as a spiritual form and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form. Krishna himself explains the form of the living entity in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he clearly says to Arjuna that he, Arjuna, and all other living entities who were previously in their original forms are separate individual identities. They were individuals in the past. They are now situated in individuality. And in the future, they will all continue to maintain their individual forms. The only difference is that the conditioned living entity appears in various material forms, whereas Krishna appears in his original spiritual form. Unfortunately, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge think that Krishna is like one of them, and that his form is like their material forms. Avajananti mam mudha manusim tanim ashritam. Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Krishna is never puffed up by material knowledge, is therefore called achyuta. Whereas the living entities fall down and are agitated by material nature. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. In this connection, it is to be noted that Vasudev, who was situated in a transcendental position, advised Kamsa not to commit further sinful activities. Kamsa, a representative of the demons, was always ready to kill Krishna or God, whereas Vasudev represents a transcendentally situated person to whom Krishna is born. Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. Vasudev wanted his brother-in-law, Kamsa, to refrain from the sinful act of killing his sister, since the result of being agitated by material nature would be that Kamsa would have to accept a body in which to suffer again and again. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5.5.4, Rishabhadev also says, Nasaru manye yato atmanoyam asanapi kleshada asadeha. As long as the living entity is entangled in the fruitive activities of so-called happiness and distress, he will receive a particular type of body in which to endure the three kinds of suffering due to material nature. Tri-tapa yantrana. An intelligent person, therefore, must free himself from the influence of the three modes of material nature and revive his original spiritual body by engaging in the service of the Supreme Person, Krishna. As long as one is materially attached, one must accept the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. One is therefore advised that an intelligent person, instead of being entangled in so-called good and bad fruitive activities, should engage his life in advancing in Krishna consciousness, so that instead of accepting another material body, Taktva Deham Punar Janmanaiti, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, he will return home, back to Godhead. So, that's the end of the purport. Om Gyana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmeditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here's the moon. The moon represents you, the self, the spiritual spark of the Supreme Self, Krishna. And is mentioned in this particular verse, water reflection. Here I'm showing the clouds, because clouds are also affected by the wind. And the clouds of ignorance will sometimes block our vision of the light that we emanate from ourselves, the soul. So what is that changing factor? It's the wind. And that's the agitated mind from the modes of material nature. So here we want to get rid of these clouds of ignorance. But because we're very covered over, we're discontent, we want so much for ourselves. We're struggling to tame what's outside of us. And the more and more we try, the more we become entangled, victimized, and the more we enter into darkness and suffering. So you could just see, doesn't the face, the index of the mind, does he look very blissful and happy and in touch with the light of the self? No, he's very dark because he is envious, greedy. He has all these qualities in the mode of ignorance. So this is water. This is water represented by the mode of ignorance. It's very dirty. it hardly ever reflects anything. And it's pretty still. It's mode of ignorance. It doesn't do anything much. And you can't really see anything hardly. So that's the mode of ignorance. And then as we go to the mode of passion, you get to see a little light, but the water is very shaky. There's a glimmer of light. This is the mode of passion. So what is it it's trying to see is this moon. We want more clarity, though. It's still not very clear, but that's what the goal is eventually. He may know it, but he's still covered over and is still agitated. But as we more and more go to the mode of goodness, everything becomes very clear. Why? It's because our mind is peaceful. It's in the mode of goodness, and it's able to reflect that internal world. This is the difference between the devotee and the materialist. The materialist is trying to control the outer world. He's at war. He's constantly trying to grab and to control and to dominate. Why? For his own personal sense gratification. But the devotee, he is fighting a war in the internal world. He's trying to get rid of those agitations of the mind. And how is that done? As we can see here, it's done through disciplic succession and by giving transcendental knowledge. We understand what disturbs the mind. Just see how clear that reflection is on that lake there of the beautiful Himalayas. It's a very clear mind. But Narada told Vyas, except for Krishna Katha, all else just simply disturbs the mind. See, the perception of the material world is processed through that mind. And if that mind is defective, then what will your vision be? It's going to be defective. It's going to be distorted. It's going to be agitated. It's going to be unclear is what we should be doing. So here we see this knowledge is being passed down even to by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada has given wonderful quotes. If you get a chance, go back to these quotes that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purports. And it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example of a clear mind. Look at the position he was in. I mean, here's Arjuna in the middle of a battlefield. So much turmoil going around. And his mind was a little agitated. So Krishna came and enlightened him and said, there's no cause for lamentation. Any man who has perfect knowledge, he knows the constitution of the soul. He knows the super soul. He knows nature. He understands all of them. He becomes very dhira, sober. And that man is never deluded by seeing the change of his friend's body change or his own. And look at Srila Prabhupada lying on his deathbed, and he was reciting, he was creating this purport that we just read. Wasn't it brilliant? As Dudakarma reminded us that this whole particular part of the canto was actually narrated by Srila Prabhupada right before he left. He can barely sit up and stand. They just barely had to hold the microphone to his mouth. His body was completely, practically gone. But yet his mind was so clear. He had clarity. And it's proven. We're just reading it today. Look how clear that was. And it gives so many references to other scriptures, the Brahma Samhita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you go to those references, all these things he's saying, he's pulling from there, you could see. And he's just expanding his realizations and his clarity. It's just amazing. You go on a spiritual journey of the mind by just diving deep in this nectar, purports of Srila Prabhupada and his books. So here we see, here's a person that accepts the Krishna factor. He actually surrenders to Krishna. He follows Krishna's order. And he becomes peaceful in the middle of a battlefield and is able to perform his duty. But we see here in this particular chapter we have the same thing. There's a chariot, there's the devotee, and there's someone who's agitated. The devotee's philosophy is the same as Krishna's philosophy. As we see, Vasudeva is actually explaining to Kamsa the same Bhagavad Gita that Krishna explained to Arjuna. Because the devotee's philosophy is the same. And we see a dramatic change of consciousness from a loving brother to a killer of his sister. His instrument of understanding, the mind, was completely out of control. Why? Because he had this tendency to try to wage war on the external world. He wanted to grab everything for himself because he had that misidentification of who he was. Krishna enlightened Arjuna. He changed his outlook on the world. And here we see Vasudeva was actually still couldn't pacify him, but somehow or another he pacified him to a certain extent. But you could see the nature of someone whose consciousness is so contaminated, how it could be changed by the simple winds of this material world. He just heard a voice. I guess it was Narada Muni, right? He likes to play tricks and cause agitation in so many different ways. Even the story where Hiranyakashipu was performing so many austerities, and Narada Muni came, and there the demigods were there appealing to Lord Brahma. And Narada Muni said, yeah, Krishna taught me some tricks. So he appeared there where Kamsa was performing, Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities as a bird, and he started chanting Krishna's names, and Hiranyakashipu became so agitated that he couldn't perform austerity, so he went back home. And his wife was surprised. Why? I thought you were going to be gone for so many millions of years. They said, no, there's this bird chanting Krishna's name, and it got me disturbed. And so therefore, he said he couldn't get out of his mind. So at that time, he impregnated his wife while thinking of that, and then Prahlad Maharaj was born. So that was the cause of his destruction. So we see, look at this great king. You know, he's a great king. He had control of the entire world. He was the supreme ruler. He had everything at his command. And he heard a voice from somebody say, you're going to die in 7 days. What did he do? Become angry and go kill that sage and kill his son and counter-curse and do so many different things? No, his mind was completely clear. He was unagitated. And what did he do? He just surrendered. This is a great opportunity to get out of this illusion. So he inquired, what's the best thing to do that? And then all the sages came, and Sukadeva Goswami came and enlightened him. And we're getting that same instruction today in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just see the difference of consciousness. So this knowledge is being handed down. As you see, Srila Prabhupada has given it to us through these books. And he's given us the idea that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal. So that should be our realization. And how to give up, his teaching to us, how to give up this materialism. Try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is actually one of the verses that Srila Prabhupada referred to in his purport. And he said here, it's very similar. If this is the one, let me see. Yeah, he says here, he realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. So this is that Krishna factor that we have to take in our mind. When you have the Krishna factor, as Srila Prabhupada's teaching us, as we're taught through so many different teachers, they give us the process of understanding this bhakti yoga path. Then we have that Krishna factor. When you have Krishna, then your mind becomes stable, becomes clear. But without Krishna, like Kamsa, look how agitated he became. And how, what a change, a dramatic change in his consciousness. So we're learning how the individual soul, it's embodied since time immemorial. It's very difficult for us to give up this particular body. But we have to understand that it's just temporary. And as Prabhupada mentioned here, this is also another reference to the Prabhupada mentions. How the embodied soul is embodied since time immemorial. And it's very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that it is not the body. Therefore, Bhakti Yogi accepts the deity of Krishna. In the background of this painting, there's a picture of the deity. Can't see, it's cut off. And is worshipful because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind, which thus can be applied. Of course, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form within temple is not idol worship. This is evidence of the Vedic literature that worship may be saguna or nirguna, the supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. So this is why Srila Prabhupada taught us this deity worship, so that we can understand he does have attributes. And he could take the form of marble, stone, wood, or even in the mind. We can take a form, that form of Krishna. Keep his track. So this is... Also, Prabhupada mentioned how the theory of reflection can be applied to the super soul. And he is present in each and every individual body. It's known as the Paramatma. He's different from us. Just like when in the sky is reflected in the water, the reflection represents both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or moon to the Supreme Lord. The individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna, and the supreme soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. They are not in the same level. As it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter, if Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna, and Krishna not superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. Both of them will be considered in Maya, actually. So one has to be an authority. One has to be greater than the other one. And that's Krishna's position. And the living entity, he's forgetful of that position, that he is dominant, he's subordinate to Krishna. But the illusory energy of Maya makes one think that you are the dominant factor, and that you could come in the mature world and try to enjoy whatever you can grab. But what is the... Why is it that we're taught through the Vedic literatures that do not perform sense gratification? What's wrong with sense gratification? Is there anything wrong with it? Does anybody know? I mean, there's a lot of nice things we could enjoy. But what's wrong with it? What's wrong with enjoying? Yes, Prabhu. Because what? Sense gratification does that? Yeah. Yeah. Perpetually stay here. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, that's true. So that we're perpetually here, but not understanding Krishna as the proprietor. But it mentions that we shouldn't think about sense gratification, because sense gratification is the womb of misery. And you can see here, enjoys, eventually he suffers. And the result is that this enjoyment, ultimately they are destroying themselves. It's not like demons are planning to destroy the planet, but just by their enjoyment, they are creating such a hellish situation that they're destroying themselves and the world that they live in, thinking that they can enjoy it. But here, trying to enjoy, trying to control material nature is actually trying to control God. This is actually God's energy. Material nature is controlled. The three modes are controlled by Krishna. So who can control God? And that's actually what we're trying to do. Hiranyakashipu, we try to control God. You know, Kamsa, he tried to control God. Look at, he's so eager and so much desire to grab that they'll go through so much pain and austerity to acquire things here that are temporary. And Hiranyakashipu is the epitome of that. I mean, he performed so much austerities that he was standing on his, I think it was one leg he was actually standing on, and he didn't eat for centuries, thousands of years, and yet he was able to control his life air within his bones after all his flesh was eaten by insects. Such an austerity. And yet he couldn't even control his own 5-year-old son. And yet he was always in misery. He wasn't really happy. He was always intoxicated. Why was he intoxicated if he was so happy? So this is a position. And we see many great yogis perform austerities in such, you know, very severe conditions in the lake, underwater. And if the mind doesn't have that Krishna factor, then little simple agitation, a little fishy, causes him to break his meditation. And he's completely agitated. Just see. So here, Prabhupada mentions how the living entity of material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. And this is due to his association with the modes, and he meets with different, various species. So he transmigrates. And this just shows the agitation of the mind and the power of the mind. It can actually change what you are. Like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, you're going to become, you get a particular eye, nose, ear. You know, you'll get sometimes as a man, a beast, a demigod, bird, worm. I think there's even a, as you see there, a potato. So you can become all these different things. So we have to rise above these modes and actually see beautiful to ugly bodies. We can attain all these things. So that's the power of the mind. It's godlike, awesome power. So there it is. So Srila Prabhupada, he came. He was that example of someone who is Dira, someone who was clear. He had clarity of mind. He was so clear in his mission as he came from India in an old, you know, supposedly old condition, had so much suffering he went through, and even at the time of death, he showed us how to live, he showed us how to die as someone who is very clear. So clarity is an important factor. It's very important in everything. We should have clarity. And Srila Prabhupada has taught many of his disciples. And we can reflect on these departed Vaishnavas and see how they went through so many difficulties in this particular situation in their lives, and how they actually attained clarity and eventually attained the spiritual world. As Prabhupada mentioned, for many of these devotees, like we see the devotee, there's Bhakti Chirta Swami, and there's Jayananda, who Prabhupada said attained the spiritual world. So many of these devotees, you can read about them and reflect and see examples of someone who had clarity of who they are, what is their position, and where they're going. Otherwise, we'll be completely covered over. And Srila Prabhupada showed us we can really have a clear vision of that moon through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, engaging in devotional service, engaging in his temple worship amongst the devotees, in good association. We have the Krishna factor, we have the devotee factor, we have the guru factor. How can you lose without these with these factors? Just take advantage of so much like that. And because we are actually the real yogis. What is the yogi is meant to control the mind. And we're performing bhakti yoga. by performing this yoga, we are actually will attain the supreme goal, which is Krishna. So that's the last slide, I believe. Yes? Okay. Well, thank you for your kind attention. And any comments or questions, realizations? Jai, thank you. Oh, yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for staying awake. Jai, appreciate it, for being clear. Jai, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.